Don't believe what the Bible says about God. There's no judgment. There's no cross. There's no empty tomb. There's no heaven. There's no hell. In an elderly woman, she asked the man the question, can I ask you this? Are you a happy and a joyful person? And he ignored her. He just kept preaching his anti-God message. And she goes, no, look, I want to ask you again. Are you a happy, joyful person? And he kept preaching. He just would ignore her. Over and over again, she kept asking this question. And finally she said, you're telling me to ignore my pastor, to ignore the Bible, to forget about God, but you're not promising anybody any kind of happiness or peace or joy or contentment. So why should I listen to you? Why? Why should I listen to you? The man stormed off, angry, mad, upset, all because this small elderly woman pointed out the fact that there is no joy, there is no thankfulness, there is no peace, there is no contentment without the true and the living God.
Amen.
And that's what I want us to look at today in our Bibles in the 100th Psalm. So I want to say this, humbled again, thank you for the opportunity to be here with you. And I pray that a faithful proclamation of the Word will represent our faithful God. So as we look at the text today, let's ask this question. I want to ask it in my own heart. Am I a joyful person? Do I exude the happiness of Christ in my life? Am I content? Or, let's ask this question. Why should you, if today you're a follower of Christ, you've come to faith in Christ, why should you be grateful? Why should you overflow with contentment and joy today? What reasons do you have? Let's look at the 100th Psalm, and let's let the Word of God speak to us today. And we'll read all five verses and make our way through this. Verse 1 of Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Let's ask God's blessing upon the proclamation of His word. Father, we bow in Your presence. We thank You, God, that You've not left us here without truth, without absolutes, without Your comfort, Your hope, Your peace, Your joy, contentment, and grace. All of that comes from You. And You are such a faithful God. We thank You for that. So much in life, Father, we confess is uncertain. We don't even know what a day might bring about, as Your Word teaches. But we know this, Father. You will be faithful today and every day. And we can count on that. So we bow our hearts before You in humility, Father. We ask that Your word would speak to us in a powerful, convicting, hopeful, comforting way. And I pray that today, because Your word has been proclaimed, we'll become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ, and less like ourselves. And we pray this in His precious name. And everybody said together,
amen.
You'll know the beginning of this psalm as we break this down. This is the only psalm that says this. Some of these psalms have subtitles under them. And this one says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, we're not in November. We're in the end of March. And I think the whole issue of gratitude and contentment and overflowing with joy is relevant on March 30th, just like it is the last Thursday in November. Amen? So we always have to think about this. When I am not thankful, and when I'm full of grumbling and murmuring and complaining, there's something going on in my heart where I'm not seeing God for who He is in His Word. I'm forgetting. And I'm looking more at circumstances, even people, more than I'm looking to God. And I want to help each of our hearts today to answer this question biblically. Why should you be a joyful person? Why should you be grateful? Why should you overflow with joy? And here's the central thought of today's message. You can take this home and hopefully meditate on this throughout the week. Thankfulness is more about who God is than it is about the circumstances you find yourself in today. So a lot has changed in my life in the 50 years that I've been alive. A lot has changed. Circumstances have changed. I have changed. I'm not as young as I used to be. How many can empathize with that today? Things change in life, but God has been the same. And ironically, this morning reading in Hebrews 13, the well-known verse 8 of Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and for how long?
Forever.
This is where we're going to start today in verse 5, and I want to tell you why. Because verse 5, we're going to start with verse 5, the first point, and then the next 3 points will be verses 1 through 4. But verse 5 really gives the motive as to why we should be thankful. And none of it deals with emotion. It doesn't deal with feelings or circumstances or others. It has to do with God. Why should we overflow with thankfulness today? And I want to encourage each of us to have this big, robust, massive, profound view of God that sees God as big and faithful and good in every circumstance we find ourselves in. So, verse 5, if you're taking notes, the first point is this. God is worthy because God is good. God is worthy because God is good. Look again at verse 5. For the Lord is good. Can we say that together? For the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
So I was reading the other day in Psalm 118, as we say this morning, the last two verses of that just reminded me of something I've been battling with personally. Just being grateful. And constantly being thankful. And thanking God more than I complain to others about life. That's profoundly convicting. I have so much to be thankful for. Why am I not more thankful? Why am I not more content? Well, I can't look to God and say, God, you haven't been good to me, and you're not good. Friends, that would be blasphemous to say that. Because God is good because of who He is. Now, take a look again at the verse. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. By contrast, the idols of this world are not good. They're not. They leave us so empty. They always fail us. No matter how good an idol may seem, it's always going to fail us. Could be money. Could be the approval of others, wanting others to like us and think highly of us. It always fails us. Never meets expectations. Could be possessions. Maybe employment's become an idol. Like a good job. Thank God for it. But it's a lousy idol. It's not a good God. They're all like ticking time bombs, waiting to disappoint us. But not so with God. Psalm 34, verse 8. This is the way I pray for lost people. Lost people that I know. Where it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we pray for those who don't know Christ as Savior, we're praying for them to personally taste and see the goodness and the mercy of God. A.W. Tozer, the well-known theologian of the 20th century, wrote this, the goodness of God is that which disposes Him to be kind and cordial and benevolent and full of good will toward men. How many personally know that to be true? We know that. He's good, He's kind, He's cordial. When God looked at creation, then He spoke into existence by the power of His Word in 6 literal 24-hour days. He saw that it was good because it's a reflection of His character. Right now, God is causing all things to work together for good, Romans 8:28, for those who love God. What's the good? The good is in Romans 8:29. That we might be conformed into the image of His Son. That's good. It's difficult, but it's good. The psalmist recognized in Psalm 119, verse 68, that God is good and He does good to His people, even in affliction, even in pain, in sorrow, in suffering. So if I'm not convinced, and you're not convinced that God is good, we'll never be thankful people. We'll never be thankful people. You might live in a good house, but the plumbing's not always good. You might live in a good home, but the air conditioning might not always be good. You might live on a nice street in a nice neighborhood. Praise God for his provision. And God has given us all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 4, 3-4. And you've done that righteously. But it may not be a good circumstance in the middle of a Category 4 hurricane, right? Think of it. If I don't see God as good, I'm not going to be a thankful person. I won't. I have to be convinced in my mind that God is good. If I don't believe my sports teams are good, I probably won't pay money to go see them. But since I believe the Cubs are going to be better this year, my wife and I are going to Miami at the end of May to go see the Cubs play. So, just as God's character never changes, amen, just as God's character never changes, despite your circumstances, okay, we have to see that to be true in order to be thankful. Your heart will always follow what you believe to be true. So if you believe in your heart that God is good, we're going to be thankful people. But it has to tie to him. It has to tie to his character. Theologian Andrew Wilson explains this nicely. In the same way, God is good by definition. Anywhere you find goodness, you will by definition have God, and vice versa. You cannot have God without goodness, and you cannot have goodness without God. Two attributes are tied to his goodness in this verse. Take a look at this. Look at the verse again. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endures to all generations. So number one, his love, okay? His mercy. You find in the original Hebrew here, the word is actually being used for God's covenant, faithful love. So think of two things that are always tied to the goodness of God. His love and his faithfulness. So how do I know God is good? Look at his love. What kind of love is this? This hesed is the Hebrew word. Hesed love refers to God's covenantal faithful love. So God cares for us. He provides for us. He feeds us. We never remind God every day, God, give me oxygen to breathe. Please. God, help my pancreas to work, my kidneys to work, my lungs to work. Help my body to digest food properly. God, please, just keep the earth right where it needs to be to sustain life. Help me, God. We typically don't think about that. But the greatest demonstration of God's love is giving his son, Jesus Christ, to provide for us what money could never buy, and what our own goodness could never earn, and what we would never, ever deserve, no matter how much goodness we have done. We look to the cross of Jesus Christ where he died, where it says the Lord is good. You know what I'm reminded of? Romans 3, verse 10. There is none good. And in case you think you're the exception, no, not one. Amen. Only one is good. Jesus made this case. And that is God. And thankfully today, God's love does not depend on my performance. Thankfully today, God's love does not depend on my character. But it depends on his character. His love is tied to his character. So when Moses asked God in Exodus chapter 34, what are you like? I asked that question when I was a kid growing up, not in church, not in a Christian family. Didn't come to know Christ until I was 17. But I used to always wonder, what is God like? What does he talk like? What does he look like? What does he act like? And you find what God is like in Exodus 34, 6-8. Where he's kind, he's loving, he's gracious, he's patient, he's faithful. And those are just truths you preach to yourself every single day. How many here would admit that at least one time in your life you've talked to yourself? I want to give you something you can preach to yourself every single day. God is good, God is faithful, God is loving, God is gracious. All of this, as you watch the news for 5 minutes and get depressed, God is good, God is faithful, God is gracious, God is kind, God is long-suffering, God is patient. But it also talks about his faithfulness. Think about this. As God was faithful to Abraham, as God was faithful to Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and Joshua, and David, and the list can go on and on and on, God is faithful to you. If you're his child and you've come to faith in Jesus Christ and you've turned from your sin and you're only trusting by grace alone through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, friend, you could shout this from the mountaintops, which we don't have in Florida. God is faithful. And look who he'll be faithful to. Look at this text again. His truth endures to all generations. So what will keep us from complaining and murmuring, being ungrateful for what we don't have or have? How about this, in the different transitions of life? Empty nester. You struggle with changes to your employment. Like, I never thought this would happen at my job. Your body ages and changes. Political climates change. There's one reason why we can always be thankful. God is loving, God is good, and God is faithful. And friend, that will never change. It's never going to change. So verse 5 is the reason why you can live out verses 1 through 4. So why should you be thankful? Why should you be thankful? Let's jump back to the beginning of the psalm. Point number 2, because God is worthy of your joyful worship. Not just your worship, but joyful worship. Look at verses 1 and 2 again of Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The psalmist lays out 3 ways to give thanks and show heartfelt worship to God. So the first one is this, joyfully shout. The Hebrew word for shout here gives the idea of a glad shout. You see this in life. You see it at sporting events. You see it at political rallies. You see this, but it's like that of loyal supporters for a king when he appears. Think of like celebrity iconic figures in our culture today. When they walk out for a concert, everybody's like, yes, cool, awesome, I'm bankrupt paying for these tickets. You know, they're like, oh, this is so great, this is so awesome. But all that glory, 1 John 2:15 through 17, it all fades. The glory of God will never fade, ever. He's always been glorious. Try wrapping your human mind around that. He's always been glorious. He always will be glorious. A good way to understand this shout is to think of God's people joyfully praising him because they're happy or delighted in him. So let me ask you this today. What or who are you excited about today? There's some good things to be excited about. Let me ask you this. How many, I think there's at least one person here who has pictures of your grandchildren on your cell phone. Is there at least one person here who has that? Okay, you have pictures of your grandchildren on your cell phone. You should be excited about that. Because grandchildren and children are a gift from who? From God. Anyone here excited about your sports teams? Gators? Doing well? Yeah? Florida State Seminole football, you know, that just goes up and down. It goes up and down. I'm a big sports fan, but that goes up and down. But God is always good, and he's faithful. Think of what we can rejoice about today. God's goodness, his loving kindness, his faithfulness. No matter what he commands us to do, we can be joyful. We can be joyful. We can be joyful as we work with children. We can be joyful when we pray. And no one sees us. And no one gets a progress report on it. Because we're in the presence of God. And that's when we're home. We're home when we're in the presence of God and with Him. That could be on an airplane. Could be on a mission field. Could be in Southwest Florida. Could be in the middle of a snowstorm. But when you're with God, we're home. We're home with Him. When we sing to the Lord, when you serve, and some people never say thank you, we can be joyful because God sees that. That's what matters most. Our approval comes from Him. But not only that, we enter into His presence with thanksgiving when you look at the verse. Now, the immediate context of this would have been Jewish people going to the temple for worship. And this means that when we sing, it should be literally an offering as unto Him. That changes the whole dynamic of singing. It's not looking around who's singing and who's not singing. Boy, they sing differently than me. They sing louder than me. They don't look happy. But what about my own heart? Let's think about our own heart right now. Do I sing as an offering unto the Lord? Romans 12, 1 and 2, that's how it defines worship. Worship is giving yourself completely to God. In everything that we do, it is about him. So, obviously, we don't sing for a Grammy Award, right? Or a gold record? Or to be noticed or to impress others with our eloquence? We sing joyfully as an offering or a sacrifice of praise to a good and a loving and a kind and a gracious God. When you ask the world why they're thankful, they point to stuff. Or they point to people. Or they point to things. When you ask a Christian why they're thankful, they always should point to God. Amen. We point to Him. Why are you so joyful today? It's all because of Him. No one here has a life where you point to everything in life and it's just ideal. Every day of my life, I have something that doesn't go according to plan. Usually dozens of things. Anyone here with me on that? I have a plan. I've got it all laid out. And I think it's a really good and wise plan that I have for my life. This wonderful plan I have for my life. But it typically doesn't go that way. Life throws us some really difficult days at times. Crushing days. And we wonder if we're ever going to get through them. We know that. I think most of us have lived life long enough to know there's days like that. So on those days, joy doesn't look like it's always a happy face or just a bubbly personality. It doesn't look like that. Joy means I am clinging to the promises of God when it's really difficult to do so. It's really difficult to trust right now. It's really difficult to see light at the end of the tunnel. But I have to believe what God says about Himself, that He is a faithful God. So I'm going to worship Him with everything that I have, not because of how I feel, but because of what He says to be true. That's what we cling to. That's what we hold on to in those difficult times. We don't point to circumstances, and we can point to that and say, hey, this worked out really well. I'm thankful. I give praise to God. But it always points to Him. But we also have to be careful with this. As we go through difficult times, we can point to that and say, God didn't fall asleep. God didn't take a personal day. God didn't call off that day. He's not absent. God is still at work. And somehow, some way, in a way I can't wrap my human brain around it, I know the God we just sang about is holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty is working that out for my good and for His glory. So we can sing joyfully unto Him. And number three, God is worthy of your joyful, here's a word, submission. Joyful submission to Him. Boy, people hate that word. They just don't like it. But it's a glorious word. I'm going to explain why. Look at verse 3 if you would. Know that the Lord, He is God. The Bible will never contradict that. Okay? It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Look at verse 3. The word know is key to understanding this verse. The Bible's telling us here, and this word in the Hebrew, if you unpack this, it means to have a knowledgeable and intelligent view of God. One that's based on knowledge. One where you know certain things about God. We should know the one we are thanking. We should know His character. Nearly every week I'm in on job interviews at Evangelical Christian School. And in like 20 minutes we're trying to make a judgment call on whether or not we're going to entrust this individual to work with children. Based on their history, based on references, based on their testimony, based on numerous other things. But I would say this. Why should you be thankful? Why should you trust God? And I would venture to say, you have really good reason to trust God today. Very good reason. Number one, look at His track record. Number two, look what He says about Himself. Look how He's always faithful to His promises. We should know the one that we're thanking. We should know things about His character, His promises, His word, His work in our lives. Know exactly how He has changed us and what it means to be His child. Know these things. When I was growing up, I was with my parents a lot. I got to know them very well. I was the youngest of three children. I knew my brother and sister very well. I knew certain things that would get them profoundly angry at me and irritated with me. I knew that. I know my wife very well. She knows me very well. How? Because we spend a lot of time with each other. And we've done so for almost 29 years. Now think of that for a moment. Now I'd ask today, what do we know about God? How would you answer the question, who is Jesus? My seniors in class, as one of their papers for the year. Who is Jesus? How would you explain that to an unsaved person? Who is Jesus? How would you explain who is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God? In Acts 17, verse 23, in Paul's sermon and on Mars Hill, there was a Greek inscription on the temple. It says, they worship the unknown God. That's not who we worship. Our God is known. He's knowable through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'll echo the words of Jesus in John 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's eternal life. And I pray you know that today. Because being saved is so much more than going to heaven when you die. That's a big part of it, but there's a lot of other components. And one is, you know God. You know, by God's grace, the one true and living God. Now, what should you know about God according to this verse? Look back at verse 3. Know, be knowledgeable, be intelligent about it, that the Lord, He is God. Here's the first thing. He's your creator. It is He who made us. Which means this, you are designed, you are created, you did not make yourself, and you're also this, you're sustained. Who's the one who gives you air and food every day? This, friends, knowing I am designed, I am created, He made me, He knew exactly when I'd be born, May 26, 1974, at Copley Hospital in Aurora, Illinois. That was not an accident. That's what gives every human being value in life. You're an image bearer. You are created in the very image of God. That gives you purpose. That gives you direction. You are not a biological accident. Amen? You're created in the very image of God. You are created. He is the one who created us. But not only that, He's your Redeemer. Notice the text. His people. The sheep of His pasture. So if life is so difficult today, if you can't think of one reason to thank God today, I'll give you two. He's your Creator, and He's your Redeemer if you're in Christ. John 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. Death of a loved one may come unexpectedly. And I'd imagine this probably happened to many of you here today. Many of us. But if you're in Christ, you are His. The same chapter where Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, in verse 9, in verse 11 of John 10. He also says in verses 27 through 28 that no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're secure in Christ, you're secure in the Father. Friend, you are secure. We can give thanks. Disappointments in life, relationally, financially, with your job, think back to what you know to be true. You're His. You're His. You're His. Bad health may come. You are His. One of the saddest places you could ever visit is an orphanage. And a couple times, several years ago, was blessed to visit an orphanage in Haiti. Our church that I pastored in Iowa supported an orphanage there in the country of Haiti. And the pastor there, his name was Pastor Predison, was giving us tours of different orphanages that we supported. And seeing every one of these children, after we would meet them, he knew the backstory of every one of those children. It was amazing. We met dozens upon dozens of little children in Haiti, and he knew the backstory of each and every one of them. Some of them, the parents tried to sell them as little children into prostitution. Some of them were just left there at the doorstep. Mom was 15, 16 years old, said, she's yours now. You feed her, you provide, you take care of her. So many of them were abandoned. Parents wanted nothing to do with them. Thankfully, they weren't aborted, amen? And thankfully, they were given life, the chance to live life. And I thought to myself, you know, God is never going to do that to us. You'll never be an orphan spiritually again. If you're in Christ today, and we can give high praise to Him today and every day of our lives, I'm an adopted child of God. I never knew my real father. He left when I was about 2 years of age. And I never called anyone dad growing up. That's why I love the title of Heavenly Father. Father, for all of eternity, you will be a child of God if you're in Christ. You will be His child. And that brings us to our last point today. Why should you be thankful? Because God is worthy of your heartfelt praise. He's worthy of your heartfelt praise. Take a look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. If you notice the text, pay careful attention to it. Three imperatives are there. Enter, give thanks, bless His name. Enter, give thanks, bless His name. The original emphasis here would have been the Jewish people gathering together for worship at the temple to thank and praise God together. But many times over, the Bible commands us to give praise to God. And there's never a caveat, there's never a qualification that says, unless life is not going well. It doesn't say that. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic with that. I'm reminding myself that there's no caveat there that says, as long as you've got a bunch of cash in the wallet, give praise to God. Give praise to Him. I think it's a good idea to sometimes take a time out and write down, okay, this day's gone badly. You ever had a day like that? Just an awful day. It's gone badly. I think there's times, there's trigger points in life. And I'm going to give you a couple in my life. 5:30 in the afternoon, driving down Pine Island. That's a difficult time to say, praise God for whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures from the Lord. Praise Him above you, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's a difficult time to do that. But I can be thankful, God. And I'm trying to do this more often. When I get home, God, thank you that I made it home safely. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Another time, it's just looking at this world and people who believe with an unbiblical worldview, trumpeting those views like on news programs. And I want to thank God, the only reason I believe the truth is because you opened my eyes to it. That's it. That's the only reason. I have to remind myself of that. That's the only reason I know the truth. When God drew you to Himself to be His child, He didn't do that in isolation. If you notice the context of verse 4, this is public. This is public, the emphasis of this verse. When He brought you to Himself, He also brought you into a family. That's the family of God. There's universal, all the children of God around the world, but there's your local church. He brought you into a church. So one of the ways we show the worthiness of God is by publicly, corporately gathering together. Sunday is a different kind of day of the week for a Christian. And when we're not gathering, worshiping God with His people, something's off. Something's not right. So since this is important to God, this should be important to us. Let me illustrate it with this. We prepare for a lot of things. Whenever I officiate a wedding, I'm always amazed at how much time they spend preparing themselves for a 20 to 30 minute ceremony. And I have to be honest, I have to think how much money is being spent on that. For 20 to 30 minutes. We prepare for a lot of things. We prepare for a surgery. It's important, a lot of prep put into that. We prepare meals. Hallelujah for that, amen. We prepare our home for guests. I would often tell people, like, before you come over, can you at least give me an hour so I can make it look like our house is always clean? Can we do that? Can you at least give me an hour to make it look like, you know, I'm always dusting and always doing that sort of stuff? We prepare for a lot. We prepare our hair. I spent 2 hours this morning getting my hair ready for this service. 2 hours. I mean, just, yeah, truthfully, man. But think of this. Before we go into public, we iron our clothes and all of that. Can I give you a loving challenge here, friends? Just a loving challenge. How much do we prepare our hearts as we gather together with God's people? Praying for our own heart. Praying for those who will preach the word. Praying for instrumentalists and those who lead and direct our hearts through song. Praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ who might physically have a difficult time getting here on Sunday morning. We don't think about that sometimes. Thanking God you have a church to go to. Amen? Yeah. Praise God for that. Praying that God would be pleased with our worship. Our worship, our praise, our thankfulness should always have a focus. And that is God. It's always God. Can't be me. I'm not worthy of worship. No way. Not at all. But I know God is. I know God is. Because if God can save a sinful wretch like me, and that's all I am at my very best state, I know God can save someone here today who may not know Christ. And you're running from shame, and you're running from bad decisions, and you're running from sinful choices. The blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God will always go deeper than the darkness of our sins. And so I want to encourage you today, cry out to Him wherever you are today. Cry out to Him, Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust with all of my heart Christ died and rose again from the dead. Praise Him because He's good. Look at the text. Praise Him because He's faithful. Praise Him because He created you. Your life has meaning and purpose today. I don't care what society says about your social status or what social media says about that. It's because of God. Praise Him. He sustains you. And He's good. He's loving. And He's faithful. Amen. Our God is worthy of praise. So if the elderly woman back in the 1800s came up to you and asked, "Why? What makes you happy? What makes you joyful? Why do you want to sing a song of praise? Does what you believe make you truly joyful?" You can give a resounding yes. It's not because Christians are perfect. It's not because your church is perfect. But it's because your God is perfect. Your God is perfect. Thankfulness is more about who God is than it is about what circumstances you find yourself in. That's what it all comes down to. So with that in mind, I think it's appropriate right now to pray in our hearts and give praise to God. I want to do this. I want to give just a quiet time in our busy hustle and bustle culture. I want to give you just 20 seconds of silence before God to give praise to Him for who He is and the goodness in your life. And then I'll interject after that in closing prayer. Shall we? Let's do that. Let's have a quiet time before God and give praise to Him. Precious Father, as we continue in prayer, we want to openly confess we need You. And we realize, Father, without You, we can do nothing. And You are such a good and kind and faithful God. And I pray, Father, throughout our days, in a genuine, authentic way, we would give praise to You. That our hearts would exude with gratefulness and joy, all because of who You are. And we commit our time to You, Father. May Your blessing continue to be on this church. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And everybody said together,
Amen. Amen.